Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch.
Play ball!
Good evening, Philadelphia, and welcome in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch powered by Green Legion Radio, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia, 104.1 up in the Trenton area, and WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley. Just download that iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide. Yes, unfortunately, this is the last episode of Bud Light Baseball Brunch slash Happy Hour for the 2022 Major League Baseball slash Phillies season. I am your host this evening alongside Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. What's going on, Murph? How are we feeling? It's been about a week and a half since the season ended. How are you holding up?
Recovering, parachuting back into real life and realizing that well, things have piled up since we've been gone, but no one expected to play deep into October, early November. At least I don't think most people did. But, man, what a ride it was. You know, we've been following this team, obviously, all year long. We've seen the good. We've seen the bad, right? And that's every baseball team, every season. But the good really started to come to the, you know, the cream to the top there at the end. And it was a hell of a ride. It really was. I've been waiting about 10 years to get to experience that, and to finally get a chance to do that and be a part of it was a blast. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to dive into the postseason here in the first segment, and you know, some of our favorite memories from that month of Phillies baseball. But I'll tell you what, partner, like, you know, as a diehard Philadelphia sports fan, as a diehard Phillies fan, and to actually have my wife have the ability to experience this with me for the first time. She found out for the first time that postseason baseball Chris Sack is completely different than any other animal she's ever met in her life. She thought I was bad with the Eagles Super Bowl run. She thought I was bad with maybe some of the Flyers, you know, Stanley Cup final, like, you know, esque runs, like, you know, the 2020 where they were in the bubble and all that stuff. But Phillies postseason baseball Sack is a different machine, a different animal. And if you ever want to just absolutely stress out, sit there and watch a game with me and have an understanding that I live and die with every single pitch, because that's what postseason baseball is. It is incredible. You know, I say this all the time, Murph, that, you know, postseason hockey is the greatest postseason in all of sports. But like, because the Flyers could be in it and they could be involved and they could be great and they can make a true run to the Stanley Cup Finals like they had, you know, many moons ago now, back in 2010 for sure, was the last time that they had like a real legit shot at winning the Stanley Cup. But when the Phillies are in postseason baseball, there's nothing better. It's a different feeling. It's a different vibe. You can feel it, like, you know, throughout the whole Delaware Valley. You know, because a lot of people are enamored and they're wrapped up like all year long. It's about the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles. I felt like the Eagles during that 8-0 stretch were completely ignored. And guess what? It felt fantastic.
Yeah, it did. You know, I don't know what it is about baseball that does that. I think baseball transcends age groups. I think it
generations,
transcends,
yes,
male and females better than all the other sports, you know, because it's a one night event in the summer. You go out to the ballpark. It's a great time. Baseball is not a real complicated game when you're watching it. You know, not like football or even hockey where you're trying to figure out, you know, some of the rules and stuff. So I just think it translates better. So when the team that people have casually been watching all season long catches fire and the excitement builds around the city, it's contagious. And I think that's what we saw. We saw it in 93. I remember it very well in 93. Obviously, we saw it in 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. And we saw it this year. And it was so much fun to see it again here in Philadelphia.
I'll tell you what, Murph, like I was, you know, privy, and I know you were a media member during that 5-year run. But, you know, for me as a fan and, you know, going to, you know, at 07, probably about 30 to 40 games that year, and then averaging anywhere between 50 and 60 those remaining 4 years of that run, I don't remember a time where I felt, and maybe because you've forgotten, right? I mean, or maybe you because you hadn't felt it in a while. Those hallowed halls there at Citizens Bank Park, and I know you joined me with the, you know, before the World Series had started on our last show a couple weeks ago, and I, you know, pretty much it was just me talking for 45 minutes outside of the segment that I had with you. But I sit there and I was reflecting that night about how truly special it was to be back at the ballpark and to have that feeling again. And how many nights during those years, those 10 years where there were no postseason baseball at Citizens Bank Park, and you're sitting there, you know, like I had season tickets out in left field in section 143, and you would look around and you would see the empty seats, and you would sit there and you would wonder, when am I going to feel that again? Like, when are these seats going to be filled again? Like, yeah, you had opening day. You know, from time to time, you might have like a Mets game or a Mets series where it's 30, 35,000 fans coming down. Maybe the Yankees are in town, but or the Red Sox, but it's not the same. Like that feeling and looking around, and even that game five of the World Series where I was at that game with my wife, and she actually got to take in a World Series game at Citizens Bank Park for the first time in her life. I found myself at times just looking around. And just looking through the stands and looking at the people and looking at the people on their feet when they're, you know, in the eighth inning when we have runners on first and third with one out, and just feeling those vibes. Murph, I'll tell you, man, it's truly special to turn around. I know you were probably feeling that same way. Oh, yeah. Sitting between LA and Scott in the radio booth, and you have that best seat in the house and you're looking at the ballpark and you could just feel the vibes and feel the energy that's out there.
Yeah, it didn't matter where you were in the ballpark. You could feel it for sure. It was amazing. And I think you're right. I think you do forget just how electric it can be inside Citizens Bank Park. And, you know, what you just said, I heard from so many different people. You know, they just being there, taking it all in was just amazing. You know, I did the pregame show every night during home games from the concourse. And the energy that was on that concourse before the pregame shows, straight through the postseason, starting with game one back against the Braves.
The Braves,
yeah. Yeah, first game against the Braves at Citizens Bank Park and straight on through to the final game of the World Series at home. The energy level, it felt as though our radio booth was just going to like lift up and be carried off down the concourse because the people were just so excited to be there. And, hey, they were, you know, the fans were a huge part of what happened this offseason. Make no mistake about it. There's not a single player will tell you differently. Not a single coach that'll tell you differently. I was proud of the Phillies fans. I thought they were awesome. That's cool to say. And I think they really showed the city in a great light.
No doubt about it. So let's take a look. Let's do a quick World Series recap here. Obviously, it's our first time, you know, getting together since before the World Series. You know, your radio and media obligations that you had. And then last week I was on vacation. So we haven't had time to be able to put this together. But I'm happy that we're going to be, you know, this is our last show. And it's great to do this in mid-November. As compared to last year, at the beginning of October, I did speak with Quimby last night, and I promoted the show on the player show last night. We had Eagle Center Cam Jurgens on with us, phenomenal guest that we had. Make sure you guys check us out, the player show every Tuesday night down at Philly Live Casino from eight to ten. The current member of the Eagles comes out and is with us from 8 to 9, as well as Eagles legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer and Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. So make sure you guys come out and check us out. But when I did plug the fact that we were recording tonight for our show to be aired on Thursday from 7 to 8, I said, listen, I was like, this is our last show for the 2022 season. And I don't know what the future holds as far as things are with us and if we're going to be doing this again next season. And Quimby said that we will be back next season. Yes. So I don't have to get all like sappy at the end of the show with Murph. Well, I'm looking forward to having another season with you. You know, that way we can talk more baseball. And I really feel like next season is going to be phenomenal for us, Murph, because and I think Quimby is right by this. And, you know, by bringing us back and having us do another show next season, and he said that he's going to handle everything with sponsors. But, hey, if you do want to sponsor the show, make sure you reach out to us. We would love to have you on board next season for sure. And you want to be involved. You want to be a part of this because right now we kind of saw what happened with the World Series and that postseason run. And if history proves this to be the case, you know, those years ago – that ballpark is going to be a hot ticket next summer.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
It's going to be a hot ticket. It's going to be a hot sell, and you know they're not going to sit on their hands this offseason. They're going to be making moves. They're going to do things to improve this ball club and make it better. And again, it's going to be a three-team race in that division between the Phillies, the Mets, and the Braves, which is going to make for exciting baseball all season long. So you guys want to make sure that you're hanging out with us. But I look back at that World Series, Murph, and you know what went wrong? You know, where was the World Series lost in your opinion for the Phillies? They were up 2-1 in the series. They had all the momentum after game three, and then they lose three in a row. In your opinion, where did the series start to turn? Where did it go awry?
Game four started to go awry. And I think it was partly because they ran into absolutely terrific pitching. I mean, obviously they get no hit, first no hitter, first combined no hitter in postseason history, third no hitter in postseason history.
2-3 at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, exactly right. So, you know, obviously he was terrific that night. And then look, the Astros are a terrific baseball team, and they were the best team in baseball. Were the Phillies the second best team in baseball? Hey, they finished that way. I don't know if we would have said that heading into the postseason, that they were the second best team in all of baseball. But they played that way for a good period of time. But at the end, I think the Astros just finally decided at some level subconsciously that it was their time. And they got great pitching. They got great pitching, and our offense went cold. And that was the difference. And, you know, even though they lost those three games in a row, you know, the Phillies pitched well enough to win those games. They didn't pitch terrifically, but they pitched well enough to win those games. But the Astros were outstanding. And that was the difference. And even with all of that, right at the end, there was still a chance. Still a chance. And, you know, they never really got smoked. Put the no-hitter aside. But they never really got, you know, blown out of the ballpark. So, you know, I think they ran into a better team at the end of the day. That was it.
Yeah, the offense really failed them the last three games in that series. Three runs combined, nine total hits. You know, I sit there and, you know, I'm on social media during game six. And, you know, I'm not sure if you were dabbling around on Twitter, but, you know, I'm frequent on Facebook and I like to interact with people and talk sports, talk baseball, absolutely all the time. And I'm sitting there. I see people posting on Facebook, you know, that Rob Thomson had costed the Phillies the World Series because they pulled Zach Wheeler and they put in Alvarado before, you know, that shot over the batter's eye in center field. Listen, I and a lot of people said, you know, my buddy Sean Henderson, friend of the show, he's like, oh, well, he just pulled for Gozy, reflecting back on Roger Mason being pulled for.
But
at the end of the day, as a manager, you stay with what got you to that point. And pulling Wheeler at that point, even though he wasn't getting hit around, it was enough for him to sit there and go, this is what my plan was heading into the series, was to match up Alvarado with Alvarez. I'm going to go with my big gun against their big gun. And listen, you know, I give credit to Alvarado after the game saying sometimes you just got to tip your cap because, you know, he was forced to have to throw that ball over the plate. Alvarez did what he's supposed to do with that pitch. And, yeah, maybe it still hasn't landed yet, but hindsight is 20/20. And you can sit there and you can try and second-guess the manager all you'd like. I thought in that moment, in that time, it was the right move to make. We'll never know what would have happened if he would have left Wheeler in. And that's part about the fact that we don't have a DeLorean like Doc Brown and Marty McFly to go back to the future and figure it out if he did something else. But, you know, I'm right there with you, Murph. You do with what got you there, and that was how he had tried to set it up the whole entire series. It failed him more often than it came through and succeeded for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It worked for him a lot more than it did not. And, I mean, how many times since June 2nd did we say, man, Rob Thomson pushing some buttons, but they all seem to be working. look, I think our pitchers ran out of gas. You know, remember, Phillies had to play an extra series. Astros had that first series off. So two extra games for the Phils where they used a lot of their arms. They had to. They used all their big guns. It's baseball. And I think what you just said is very rational and very reasonable. Yes, I did not like it at the time. I liked the idea of staying with Wheeler there. But I was also not surprised at all that Rob made that move. And these guys put so much time and effort into trying to figure out the best scenario and situation. When I tell you that they already knew what they were going to do at that moment of the game, if there was a guy on base, if Wheeler was still in there, if his velocity was this, if Alvarado was ready to, you know, they knew. And so it didn't come to as a surprise to anybody on that coaching staff. They wanted to go and make that move because that's what they've been doing. And look, they're not in the World Series without Alvarado. They're not in the World Series without Zach Wheeler. And the Astros are not in the World Series without Yordan Alvarez coming up huge time after time again. And he won that battle. And it was tough. It was hard to watch, but I get it. I really do. you know, we can second guess Rob Thompson. He's fine with that. But he would make that same decision time and time again. And guess what? Probably works 8 out of 10 times, right? Or 7 out of 10 times. And if you're going to get 70% of the time, you're going to do it every time too. So, you know, if that situation happens to come up 9 more times, you know, we'll see, you know, because Rob's not going to change his philosophy because of one pitch.
Absolutely not. And so from this side, I always love the fact, like, when you're in different stadiums and you're around a team and you're on a team plane, like the story that you shared with us when you were going from Houston to St. Louis, you know, I loved that insight into the plane and, you know, Rob Thompson walking up to you guys and individually thanking you all for your contributions to the team this season. What was it like being around the team in the clubhouse after game 6? And what was it like on the plane coming home?
Well, so in full disclosure, we had 2 airplanes the last 2 series. We had so many people from the front office.
That's right. Yeah, I remember you saying that prior to the last show.
So the players were on one plane with their families, and the coaches and the rest of us were on the other plane. So I did not fly home with the players. So I can't answer that question. What I can tell you is that I mean, obviously disappointed. I talked to a lot of the guys, obviously disappointed, but also pretty damn proud of what they were able to accomplish. And I think with every day that passes, that kind of becomes even more the feeling. Look, you never know if you're going to get there again. So the disappointment is real. So you're 2 games away from winning a World Series. And
you were up 2-1.
Yeah, and you were up. And then you don't, you know. And so that's real disappointment. But, you know, I think there's a lot to be proud of from this group. Certainly, they exceeded expectations. And I think, as time goes, I think they'll be able to – and I think they've already started to be able to say, you know what, it was a great run, and there's no reason we can't do it again next year, right? That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, it's funny. When we got into the playoffs to begin with, what I wanted out of the playoffs was I wanted, first of all, like, you know me, I went to St. Louis. We met up before game 2. I didn't want to wait or see if the opportunity was going to come, right, to come to Philadelphia. And I missed postseason baseball with the Phillies for the first time in 11 years. So for me, I wanted to win that series, and I wanted to end Pujols and Yadier Molina's careers because, yes, you know, they ended – the last time the Phillies were in the postseason in 2011, I wanted revenge. So, you know, when then you win that, and then you get into that series, and you know you have a shot against the Braves because you've played well against them the last few years, better than anybody else in Major League Baseball had. I was looking at that series as house money because I kind of figured we were going to get the Dodgers in the NLCS. Well, then you get the Padres, and then once we get – I don't know if I've said this on previous shows. For me, the most nerve-wracking series ever is the one before the championship round. Like, I do not want to fall short on the doorstep of getting the opportunity to compete for the ultimate prize. And I said all along, I don't want a wild card banner at the ballpark. And we didn't win a division. And, it, you know, you're having all these great moments in St. Louis and, you know, against Atlanta. And you lose that series to San Diego. Yeah, it's great. It was a great 2 or 3 weeks. But there's nothing to show for it. You're never going to see anything at the ballpark to sit there and go, man, 2022 was a lot of fun. Like, it would have been it would have felt empty. But now the pride that I have is that next year and for years to come, and when my kids go to the ballpark someday on their own, and when they bring their kids and my grandkids, and they bring their kids and all that stuff. Like, someday down the line, they're going to look back and, you know, my kids are still asking me to play Dancing on My Own. And I'm like, it still hurts. Like, I can't do it right now. I'm in mourning. But they're going to remember this run. Even though they're young, I was 7 when the Phillies made it to the World Series in 93. They're going to remember this. And they're going to have that banner just like I'm going to have that banner. And I can always look at that and say, that was so much fun. And yeah, that was just one of the greatest October rides that I could ever remember in my life.
I would agree. No doubt.
You know what else is great is our friends from State Farm, who have been supporting us all season and the last season and a half for sure. And I look forward to having Dave Bavuso back with us again on board next year. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call him at 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up on our second segment, we're going to wrap up talking about the World Series. I want to know what Murph is going to take from this ride through October into November, what he's going to remember most. And then we're going to talk about the offseason, because Dave Dombrowski met with the media on Wednesday, and I'm going to see if Murph was down there to get us some of the full scoop, especially on our good friend Bryce Harper, friend of the program here. Right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Second segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler on this Thursday evening from 7 to 8. Thank you all for joining us again tonight and all season long. We look forward to seeing you down at the ballpark again next season. It's going to be a lot of fun at Citizens Bank Park next season. But before then, we got to talk about our friends over at Premier Window Cleaning, the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. All right. So, Murph, just the last part that I wanted to deal with in the last segment, but we kind of got off on a couple of tangents, so I'll save it for now. What are you going to take away from this run from early October to early November in 2022? What was your favorite moment during the postseason, and what will you remember most about the 2022 Philadelphia Phillies?
Well, I think what I'll take away is something that I tend to believe, and you'll laugh because I think you know this about me, is that anything can happen in the world of sports. And, you know, here's a team that lost their best player, lost their second baseman, lost their starting pitcher down the stretch, lost their closer, lost other relievers, and yet continued to play and play well, and then not play well.
Fire their manager at the beginning of the season.
Fire their manager, right. Yeah. So I think what you have to take away from this, especially in baseball, which I say all the time, it's 162 games, and the best teams are going to lose 8 in a row, and the worst teams are going to win 8 in a row. And it's just going to happen because that's the nature of the sport. It's not football. It's not hockey. It's not basketball. Baseball is its own entity when it comes to that. And that's why I think you just have to enjoy the ride. And I think that's what I did. That's what I've always done. I'm very lucky to get a chance to do what I do. And I always tell myself, whether they're winning or losing. And look, they lost for 10 straight years when I was with the team.
That old Irish look.
That's right. That's right. Where was that? Charlie wants to know. But, you know, my feeling was just enjoy the ride, because I knew one of these days it would turn around. Did I know it would be 2022? No. I thought they'd make the postseason this year. I did not think they'd make the World Series, or at least I didn't know if I believed it in my heart of hearts. So that's what I'm going to take away. Just that unpredictability, that really never count yourself out kind of spirit that this team had. And then obviously their singular moments, you know, Reese's home run, Bryce's home run, Aaron Nola in September, Rob Thompson, and just what he was able to accomplish. Zach Eflin, you know, getting a save in a postseason game to send him to the next. And then the clubhouse celebrations that I got to be a part of, which was a blast. You know, my dry cleaning bill was triple this month, but that's okay. because it was such a joy to be a part of, and to watch those guys celebrate their accomplishments and what they were able to do.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think I will ever forget Reese's home run, which is just like, it felt like it popped the lid off the whole party. Like that home run was phenomenal. It was great because it was like, you know, we're all sitting there. We saw them like they're intentionally walking Schwarber, and like you get the right on right matchup. But Schwarber was awful before that, and you're sitting there, and I know Hoskins was awful before that too. And you're sitting there going, ah, yeah, right. But you know, like, why at least attack Schwarber and try and get him out? And what you did was you kind of insulted Reese in the process and that bat slam that he had. And then for me, I was also in the building for Harper's home run. I will still to this day feel.
I know what you're gonna say.
It was an out of body experience when he hit that home run. Like,
how do you think Josh Hader felt?
Well, there's that, and that's the part that I was going to get to, because yeah. I just remember I felt like my body was like collapsing in that moment because I couldn't believe it. You know, we have Can You Believe It every week during the course of the season. I could not believe I'm sitting there looking at Josh Hader warming up in the bullpen, and I'm like, he's for Bryce. Yeah. He is for Bryce. And the fact that he didn't bring him in was just it baffled the hell out of me. And
there you go. Perfect example of, you know, making that other decision, thinking, you know what, I'm going to ride this guy because he's pitching well, and it backfiring on you. So baseball, man.
Baseball.
Yeah.
It was just insane. And to see something like that, too, Bryce Harper kind of, in a way, became Joe Carter for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he didn't instantly send them to the World Series, but he basically did.
Yeah.
And, you know, the legend grows because he tells his teammates, you know, much like Ryan Howard.
Give me to the play, boys.
Yes. So his line is, you know, let's show him something special.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, did he ever.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just, there are so many moments like that. And there are little ones too, you know. You think about Segura's hit against the Cardinals that you know, squeaks by and it goes into right field. And,
yep.
And
the six-run rally in the top of the ninth.
Yeah, right. And the leap by Gene. And, you know, Gene was such a wonderful guy to be around, you know, year in and year out. But watching him enjoy this postseason, there was nothing better. He plays the game like a little kid and loves the game like a little kid and finally got rewarded and came up with some big moments. And I just absolutely loved watching him enjoy his time in the postseason.
Yep, absolutely. And the Cassianos plays, the defensive absolutely plays out in right field, right. The Schwarber bomb in San Diego. There was just so many great memories, but listen, we got to look forward to 2023 a little bit here. We have 5 minutes left in the segment, so let's talk a little bit about what's coming up this offseason right now. Update on Bryce Harper. I know we were just talking about it during the break with Dave Dombrowski, met the media on Wednesday. Why don't you give us a little bit about what Dave put out there during his press conference? I know Sam Fold and Rob Thompson were up there, but most of it was Dave. What's going to happen with Bryce Harper coming up, and a couple of the tidbits that he had. Also, real quick, congratulations to Aaron Nola, who finished fourth in the NL Cy Young voting as well. Phenomenal for him at Sandy Alcantara. He was unanimous for the National League Cy Young, but very well deserved on his end. But why don't you touch base on what Dave Dombrowski had to say on Wednesday?
Yeah, so yeah, the big news, obviously, Bryce Harper will have surgery on his elbow. UCL surgery is what they're classifying it as right now. They'll have it on Wednesday of next week. We're airing tomorrow, Thursday. So, you know.
So Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then he'll start his recovery. They don't know that if and when they get in there, if it's going to be a Tommy John situation or if it's going to be a simple kind of UCL repair that Rhys Hoskins went through. Obviously, the latter would be better. they don't know what is going to unfold once they get inside and take a real close look at that elbow. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll know more, you know, on Thanksgiving, I guess. The writers will have to have their phones handy on Thanksgiving because I think the news will come out at that point. So that was the big news that came out.
And we can also put people at ease here by saying if he does get a full reconstruction on, you know, by Tommy John, it's different with position players. He can come back. Otani had the surgery, I think it was October 1st, 2018, and he was back in the lineup by mid-May of 2019. This could be DHing.
Looking midway through the year.
Probably about mid-June as a DH.
Remember, you know, he's going to have to then go through what would be akin to a spring training for him. So I think you're probably even looking closer to July, you know, maybe into July if that's the situation. So obviously you're hoping it's not as serious as Tommy John. You know, my gut tells me expect the worst when they get in there. I just feel like if it had been a little bit less of an injury, maybe it would have healed. But we'll see. You know, that's just speculation on my part. So, but, you know, they'll have him for half the year, you would imagine. And half the year of Bryce Harper is certainly better than not having him at all. So.
And you also look at it like this. I know Dombrowski was talking about how they do have the funds to still go out there and sign a big ticket item. Obviously, the Phillies have been linked to the four shortstops, more so Trey Turner and Xander Bogaerts. If we're talking about one of those big ticket items, I've kind of been asking this question to other baseball fans too, Murph. Ideally, I think Trey Turner fits the best. I love watching Trey Turner play. But I've also pitched this question as well. If it came down to Trey Turner and a second-tier starting pitcher to throw into the rotation, or if it came down to Dansby Swanson and getting, you know, because you're saving money at shortstop and you bring in a guy, you can go get a big ticket item like a Carlos Rodon, which way would you go? Trey Turner in second tier or Rodon and Dansby Swanson?
You know, I think ultimately you can't go wrong with either because I love the idea of Rodon, you know, as your number two or number three, wherever you want to stick them. And Dansby Swanson's a terrific player and a terrific shortstop. And so, you know, you're obviously strengthening your starting pitching and you're getting better offensively. Now, Trey Turner and that other option probably swings you this way. You're getting even better offensively and you're solving a couple of needs, I think, offensively, if you bring in a guy like Trey Turner and then bring in a number three or a number four. I mean, you still have Wheeler. You still have Nola. You still have Ranger Suarez. You still have
Andrew Painter.
I don't think you can go wrong, which is an awesome problem to have. I guess if you ask me right now, fingers crossed that Andrew Painter is everything that everyone believes he will be, I think I would go with Trey Turner, try to lock him up for
years.
I agree with you. I love watching Trey Turner play. If you're a baseball fan, you talk about a guy that plays the right way. He reminds me more of Chase Utley than any player that has come since Chase Utley on any team. He just reminds me of that. Not so much his style of play. Maybe not the way he plays, but just the way he approaches the game on a daily basis. And I've had a chance to talk to Trey Turner a couple times and he's a real student of the game and he fits the bill for the Phils. So like I said, hard to go wrong with any of those shortstops, to be honest.
And he could bat anywhere, first, second, third in the lineup. I mean, preferably I would like him batting leadoff.
I think he leads off for you.
Yeah, I think so too. I've kind of put this lineup together as obviously depending on health and everything. Trey Turner, JT, Bryce, Castellanos, I think he's going to have a nice revenge tour next year. Schwarber batting five, Hoskins batting six, Stoddy batting seven, Boehm eight. I'm only doing that to separate the left and the rights, but then having Brandon Marsh in the nine, that's a pretty potent lineup if you ask me.
It's a very potent lineup. Yeah, I like Turner up top. 2-3-4, you know, depending on obviously when Bryce isn't healthy, they'll have to play around with that. You know, Boehmer will get his chance closer to the top of the lineup at that point. You might even see him betting as high as two.
Derek Hall will probably get a lot of DH experience.
So, but yeah, that's a pretty formidable lineup. And look, I mean, even just getting Castellanos back to back to the player that we all know he is, and I really believe he will. I'll be shocked if Nick Castellanos has a similar year to what he had this year. I think
me too.
So just getting him back, you're getting one of the best hitters in the National League back if he's that guy that was, you know, with the Reds. So you know, he's a silver slugger award winner. So, you know, that he was the best at his position in terms of offense. So you know, give me most of that and you're in great shape.
You know, it was probably the best part about summer outside of the Phillies was the La Casa lemonade that we had down at the Ludlum Bar and Grill in Seattle City. Oh, my goodness gracious. It was delicious. It was satisfying. It was everything that you could ever want. Again, appreciate you guys having us back in July during the Cup Series right after the All-Star break. So much fun. 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. They're open year-round. It's the old La Casa. You guys want to make sure you go down there, check them out. Go to ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or give them a call at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, or hotel, or both, your new oasis in Seattle City. Check them out during the offseason as well in Seattle City.
And bring me back a lemonade, because my boy Sack over here did not.
Well, we got to get together this off season too. By the way, right. for an alcoholic beverage,
all right. BYOL.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna head to our final break here on this Thursday evening as we bring it back for our final segment of the 2022 Major League Baseball / Phillies season right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler after these messages. Welcome back. Final segment here on this Thursday evening, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are wrapping up the 2022 Major League Baseball and Phillies season. Right now, we do this at the beginning of every season, and we're going to have a little bit of fun right now at our expenses. Like I said, I teased at the beginning of the show, we did pretty well with the National League.
All right.
So we're going to start out. We're going to start out with Murph's predictions for the National League.
And these Murph happened before. Well, this happened week one, right?
It was a week into the season. Yeah, because last year we did it. We had the inaugural show a week before the season started. Right. This year, because our first show was a two-hour special and I had you for 45 minutes down at 1100 Social, we did it a week later.
What a difference a week makes. That's unbelievable.
Yes. Well, yeah, because you didn't have the Mets winning the NL East, but you changed that up, which you probably should have took it back.
I should have stuck
with the Braves.
Go ahead. What did I say originally?
All right. So you had the Mets winning the East. You had the Brewers winning the Central. You had the Padres winning the West. Then you had the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Braves as a wild card. Now,
okay,
you made out well. Five of those six teams made the playoffs.
All right.
So you missed on the Brewers and with the Cardinals.
Apple.
Which is okay. Yeah. Your NL dark horse. There were no real dark horses in the NL. The Marlins. Yeah. NL MVP, Trey Turner. I think he's a top three, right? I think he's a top. Is he top three? No, he's probably going to wind up being top five. Yeah, it's Machado, Arenado, and Goldschmidt three. So Turner's probably going to wind up top five.
Okay.
So, which is good for you. And your NL Cy Young, he got hurt a couple times. Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Had he not, he'd have been in the mix.
He definitely would have been in the mix. And then my National League, I had the Braves winning the East, I had the Cardinals winning the Central, and the Dodgers winning the West. I had all three division winners. But I had the Phillies and the Padres as wild cards, and the Brewers was my other wild card. I missed on the Mets. So
very
I did
good.
Did pretty well there. My dark horse was the Rockies.
The Rockies, that was pretty dark.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely dark for sure. We'll start with my American League team. Actually, no, hold on. My MVP, I picked Bryce Harper, which was looking pretty good until he broke his thumb.
Yep.
And then I had Walker Buehler, which Tommy John surgery on that end of things. Didn't turn out well. But American League, I had the Blue Jays winning the East, the White Sox winning the Central, and the Angels winning the West.
Uh-uh.
I missed on all three of those. The Blue Jays did make the playoffs, though.
Okay.
And then I had the Astros, the Rays, and the Mariners as my wild cards. So I had 4 of 6.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good.
And then my dark horse was the Twins.
Yeah, that was good.
They were right on the head. Yeah. Now, for you, you had the Blue Jays, the White Sox, and the Angels as your division winners. But then you had the Yanks, the Mariners, and the Astros. So you went 3 of 4 or 3 of 6.
3 of 6.
Yes. Your AL dark horse was the Tigers. That's a womp womp.
They hung in there for a little bit, but okay.
Your MVP was Mike Trout.
Yeah,
which I think he might be top five in the voting.
Yeah,
he might be. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. And then Lucas Giolito, that's a womp womp right there. But you had the Phillies over the Blue Jays in the World Series. So you had the Phillies in the World Series, and that's not homerism at its finest.
But
then I had the Blue Jays over the Dodgers, so I whiffed on that completely. And then my AL Cy Young was Shane Bieber.
Okay,
had a really good year. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. AL MVP, and he was a womp womp for me this season.
Yeah.
So
okay,
we didn't do too bad.
We did pretty well. Bad on the bats.
Yes, right. You got to be proud of yourself somewhere along the way.
Absolutely.
All right, so I want to take this time at the towards the end of the show. Sam, if you can put up there how much time we have left in the segment. I just want to offer some thank yous for the for this past season to those of you that had been involved. So I'd like to thank Sean Brace for giving us the opportunity as the program director at 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler for airing us. I wish we could try and figure something out for September to where we don't get moved off our day, but I know football and the Eagles rule the world.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, but I'm just putting that out there, you know. Quimby, I appreciate Quimby for giving us the opportunity and for funding the show. And, you know.
Papa Q.
Yeah, Papa Q for sure. Listen, you know, Quimby is also our unruly neighbor from time to time. He likes to join the program. But, hey, listen, he's the one that writes the checks. He's the one that funds the show throughout the season. We appreciate any time that we can have him on with us, no doubt about it. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Dave Bavuso and State Farm, Premier Window Cleaning, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, and the Green Legion, of course, for all of their commitment towards us this past season. Without you, obviously, you know, the show wouldn't exist without our sponsors. Russ Taylor would like to thank me for having the trivia questions.
Yeah, gave me a lot of tickets this year.
Yeah, we gave out a bunch of – you know, I think I need to get season tickets. I need to get two. I need to get season tickets for me and season tickets for the show. Because that way I can just get those upper tank ones and give them out in the shows, and then I get postseason priority for tickets.
There you go.
That way I don't get bent over for the World Series. Like I did this year. I'd like to thank our producers, Slash and John Jansen, awesome. For their commitment to us this season, both when you're in studio, when you're down with us at the ballpark for a broadcast and bringing the equipment and setting it up. And then Slash for taking the time to chop up the shows when we record like this ahead of time and making sure it's in the system. You guys are the best in the business, and we really appreciate you guys. Sam, for running StreamYard and our ticket giveaway segments. Russ had a segue over to that. I'd like to thank Diaz and Chad for promoting the show across our social media platforms. Chad does the @BaseballBrunch on Twitter. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the fans. I appreciate everybody that listens to the show and interacting with us all season. And, as always, a big thanks to my partner. We've had a lot of fun these last two seasons. I know I said this right before the postseason started, and I expressed this to you, Murph. Nobody deserved that opportunity to live that month like you did. The commitment, the sacrifice, everything that you put in to what you do in your profession and your line of work, for you to have to deal with the team in their low years for as long as you had to sacrifice yourself for with that quote unquote Irish luck. And then, what happened with the pandemic and finding your way back onto the radio and being a part of that great radio broadcast team that you guys put out there in the Phillies Radio Network. Nobody deserved it more than you. And I'm extremely proud of you for everything that you've endeared, both health-wise and professional-wise over the last year. And happy to call you a friend.
Thank you, Zach. And right back at you, what people probably do know, but might not know, is that Zach is the brains behind this. this radio show. He's the one that puts together our topics each week. He's the one that puts together the trivia questions and what we're going to be discussing, and keeps us on time and keeps us moving and keeps it light. And it's been a blast over the last 2 years. And I hope we can keep going. I hope we can continue on. You know, Quimby is awesome. It's so much fun to be a part of Green Legion Radio. I tell people that all the time. I display it proudly, as you can see. So thanks for whoever gave me this T-shirt.
I wasn't expecting to be flashed at the end of the show.
Yeah, you know. So
lovely parting gift.
I just want to say thanks to you and all the hard work that you put in. And, you know, we both have our other jobs that we have to attend to. You've got two little ones that you have to be around and be there for as well. And I know you juggle it all beautifully. So so thanks for that. And thanks for making this a priority and making it so much fun.
Oh, no problem at all. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, and as we've alluded to, we will be back in 2023. And I could not be happier to be given another opportunity, because it's not just what we do here on the show and on Green Legion Radio. It's what people strive for and what they want content wise when the Phillies are this good and they are this close to bringing home the ultimate prize. And I think next year we do it.
I love it.
Dave Dombrowski is going to add the pieces. He's going to add that big-time shortstop. He's going to add somebody else into the rotation. We're going to get some more guns in the back end of that bullpen. This team will be back. It's going to be a lot of fun banging down there at Citizens Bank Park next season. Smash the bell, as we all like to say it. But for Greg Murphy, for Super Sam Brady, for John Jansen, for everybody at Green Legion Radio, and my guy Slash for chopping this up on Thursday morning to be put into the system on Thursday night, I'm Chris Sack. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard for the final time in 2022, or like a 2-2 pitch that gets, you know, smashed over the left field wall by Bryce Harper. This is Green Legion Radio, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Everybody have a great offseason. We'll talk to you guys in April.